You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three. And this is a time when I get to hear two of my brethren and sisters come in and give us their opinions on things. And, you know, it was Boomer McQueen for for a year and a half. But right now, I am proud to have on deck Butters and Lee. All right. Lee from Huntsville, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. You ready for this? Another round?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm asking you both this question, and I'll probably defer to you first, Lee. So here's the question. So this is December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, all right? December 7th, 1941 was the attack on Pearl Harbor. So Pearl Harbor Day. Well, as we sit here today, so like military recruiting is at an all-time low. It's a major issue. The Biden administration likes to blame it on things like a cultural shift and saying that there's not as many eligible kids to be recruited out there right now. But what do you think is the reason that recruiting is so low, in your opinion? And if another Pearl Harbor happened, would we have enough young Americans to step up? So, Lee, you first. What you got?
Well, I think the main reason that it's low is this generational service that we have, where we have, you know, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your child, they're all in the service. I think that's beginning to wane because I think they're losing faith in the armed forces somewhat. Of course, this is generalities, but I think you're losing some of that that generational enlistment, if you will. And there's no excitement to get Gen Z on board. And when you said, do I think if we were attacked, I mean, you're always going to have those people who feel strongly and patriotically. So you will have some. But the same as back then? Absolutely not. We would be in trouble is what we would be. Because we have an army that's, you know, the generals have been replaced and or encouraged to be soft. And they've encouraged deviant behavior in the military. And your average, you know, young man who's going to put that M16 on and go out into the field and die for his country doesn't want to die for that.
Wow. Okay. Dang. Butters, what do you think?
I think first and foremost, I think we've got plenty of young men and women that when the need arises and I'm a couple of years dated, having retired in 2021 from the reserves. But at least from who's in now, they'll get the job done when the time comes. And I would say history would show in America when the need arises, we as a society step up. As far as recruiting, I guess I would speak more intelligently from the retention side and one aspect. You got fighter pilots, you know, back when I was deploying, you have fighter pilots offering $200,000 retention bonuses and you still can't keep them in. That's not a money issue. That's a culture issue. And
wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And I think that culture issue leaks out in, you know, in multiple ways into that retention or that recruiting problem. You know, I still, when I left in the Navy, I still had faith that if the need arises, we've got young men and women out there, despite whatever leadership, that'll step up and take care of business.
Okay, so great answers, both of you. So I think I am I share both of your opinions because you called it a cultural issue, which I think is a great way of framing it. And Lee, you kind of define some of the wokeness and the feckless leadership and that kind of stuff. All of that, I think, kind of blends together as there is an environment within our current military that is disenfranchising a whole section of society. And I think that is absolutely true. But I'm going to lean more towards Butter's opinion on the question about whether there would be enough there. I do believe that America would step up. I do believe that we would still have – it's like that rallying effort, like you saw after 9/11. I do believe that we would still rally. I think there's enough good people out there that we would have what we needed to get the job done. I just hope that we don't need it.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the comedian's routine on rednecks – you know, somebody invaded the shores and you got rednecks down there and the Marines show up and it's beer cans. Yeah. You know, it's funny because there's some truth to that.
There is. War's over, baby.
But can I add that you would have, I thought maybe it was an MMA fighter or a boxer or something. Someone with a badly broken nose was given an interview and he said, you know, I'd fight for Oklahoma. If they're coming, you know, if they're going to step 1 foot in the United States or in my state, I'm there. I'm ready. I'm going to go, but I'm not going overseas to fight these useless wars. And I think maybe it depends on where we're attacked and how we're attacked or what they perceive as an attack on us.
Well, I think that's true. Attack on the homeland, I think, would certainly rally more people than otherwise. But the other part of that, too, is, Lee, I look at, like, for instance, even the war in Ukraine. I think a different administration would have handled that differently and still been very involved in supporting Ukraine against Russia. But what's happening is people are losing sight or losing faith in the ability of the Biden administration to have anything reasonable to say, and they don't have a plan. They just want a blank check, and that's what's causing people to become disenfranchised with that. All right, let me.
Well, they have a blank check because they have to split it with the Democrats as it comes its way back around. That's why. That's why people don't trust it. Trump would have never gotten us in this war in the first place.
Trump didn't start the – oh, you're saying the war wouldn't have started if Trump was still in office, you mean?
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I agree with that. I think that's probably true. All right, next question before we run out of time here. So last night's debate, doesn't matter whether you watched it in great detail or not, but last night Vivek Ramaswamy – he was the insult master. I mean, Christie had his moments where Christie almost felt kind of bullying at times, but Ramaswamy felt smarmy. I mean, he felt like the guy who came in designed to try and hurt your pride and cast, you know, aspersions upon your intelligence and try to make himself look big by making other people look small. Anyway, all those debate insults, they're good clickbait, but is that what people really want? So Butters, I'm going to you first on this one. Is that the kind of stuff that people want in their candidate? Tell me, what you think?
I think it's getting harder and harder to find people in a population and that want to have an educated conversation or know how to have an educated conversation, to have a debate. And so I think that drives at least the perception, or maybe it is a reality that, you know, those quippy, soundbitey, all that kind of stuff, you know, that's what we need. And unfortunately, people like watching a train wreck, and, you know, that's what attracts viewership and awareness. And it's kind of sad.
So you're saying you think that people do want to see more of that.
I don't know if it's that they want it, or they're just not, I mean, their critical thinking skills and all of those kind of things that go into listening, processing information, you know, like actually listening to an intellectual conversation. I think it's getting harder and harder to find people that care to do that.
I don't disagree with that. In fact, Rush Limbaugh, even back when, you know, he was still in the early stages of his career, he used to call it the low information voters. They reacted to the soundbite, not to the substance. And I can see, okay, all right. Lee, your thoughts. Do people want that kind of stuff or don't they?
I would have to say yes in some ways because Trump is so good at it, but he's a singularity. He's not, Ramaswamy cannot be him. So, but here's my thing, too. I think Chris Christie stepping in and trying to defend Nikki Haley's intellectual honor, if you will, was dumb. If she can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
She cannot use the excuse of, I'm a woman, how dare you insult me? That's dumb. And he shouldn't have approached it that way, like he's white knighting his way right over to her. No, don't do that. If she can't stand it, she doesn't need to run for president. But here's the thing. I thought he wasn't insulting her intelligence. He was insulting her motivations behind, that she doesn't truly understand. And more I got from that is she doesn't care about, you know, the reasons why we're in the war, the reason, you know, the areas, the provinces, whatever. She doesn't care enough to even know the name. She just wants to, you know, spend our blood and treasure over there. And I happen to agree with him on that. And I didn't particularly think that was an insult on her intelligence.
No,
but I do think he kind of went too far with Christie talking about you need to go home, which I do agree he needs to go home, but he was like, get a meal or whatever. Insulting someone like pretending they're fat, that's not going to get you anywhere. We all know he's fat. We don't need that, you know. But the thing is, Ramaswamy is the smartest guy on the stage. He is. He's brilliant. But he comes off as smarmy because of it.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to contain his brilliance. He doesn't know how to be the normal guy. But I'll be honest with you, I don't know if you missed this part or not, but there was the part that I was thinking of was it, within that context of you don't even know the county. I mean, so what if you don't know how to name the regions of Ukraine? You know where Ukraine is, and you know the eastern border is where they're fighting right now with Russia. But you don't have to know every little town and river in the foreign country. But at the same time, him saying, you can't, my three-year-old can pick him off a map better than you are, that's an insult to someone's intelligence. But then he also holds up the sign and says, and he holds it up and it says, Nikki equals corruption, and starts talking about how corrupt she is. I mean, that's a direct assault on her character at that point.
Well, she is, but he got to be able to prove that. I personally believe that she is. But here's the thing. Yes, he went too far. He could have done this in a way that made him smell like a rose afterwards, but he went too far. You know, he the insult went too far. Your three-year-old cannot name, or maybe he has an incredibly gifted three-year-old, but they shouldn't be able to name the provinces over there. But my thing is that what he was saying deep down, if he cut through the crap, is that she doesn't care enough to understand why, just that we're there and we need to, you know, spend money and give the blank check. And I agree with that. But he just didn't come across that way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that it's fair game to say you were on the board of Boeing, and that really smacks of, you know, like some kind of, you know, collusive environment. Or the fact that BlackRock supports her candidacy. I mean, that really got all over Charlene and I both. I think he took some shots that tarnished, you know, her potential. But I also think, though, that he went too far. Like you said, he went too far being the smart aleck on the stage, so much so that Chris Christie told him he was a blowhard and he needed to shut up. I don't know. I think that by and large, I think people would like to see the occasional jab, but there's a too far that happened a few times last night, my thoughts. All right, I just ran long with it. Let's go ahead and call that round one. We're round one with Butters and Lee. We'll go on to the break. We'll come right back, and this is the part where we switch gears, and they ask me a question, and I just wait with bated breath to find out what it is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, wow, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Right back with Butters and Lee. Apparently we ran along a little bit on the first section, so I don't know how much time we're going to have now, about 5 minutes-ish. But this is the part where we flip the script and they ask me a question. I don't even know what's coming right now, but I'm going to defer to Lee first. Lee, what you got for me?
So did you see the three major college presidents, Harvard,
yes,
you know, and such, the interview?
Yeah.
I mean, not the interview, before Congress. Okay. My question is, do you think that Jewish students and Jewish parents are going to start pulling back not only their money, but their students from going to these schools when they seemingly just endorse anti-Semitism?
I think they already are. I think, you know, UPenn's president, who did such a horrible job equivocating. I mean, how easy, what a layup question. Is it against your campus policies and bylaws to allow someone to, you know, anyway, anti-Semitism and expressing violence and calling for genocide? My God. And so, There they were doing their feckless equivocations. Well, it depends upon the circumstances. Well, you know, every moment is dictated by what? No, you just say we don't allow that, and we're going to fix it. But they didn't do that. And then I'm pretty sure that they began getting major calls from big donors who either were sympathetic to the cause of the Jewish people or were Jews themselves. And I think that some of these elite universities are about to take a hit financially and with people. That's my thinking right there. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And by the way, it's okay to be plain spoken. That's what that whole thing missed. They're so worried about not being plain spoken that they talk themselves into a gray area and now they can't get out. That's just unreal. What you got
they're
for me?
They're afraid. They're afraid.
Oh, they were afraid. But now they're really afraid they're going to lose their jobs. And I think, by the way, they should. I'm embarrassed.
If I were
on the board of trustees, I'd be calling the president in to say, well, you know, you just really badly represented the actual public image of this much vaunted university. And we think we can do better than you. So we're handing you your papers. So we'll see. What do you got for me, man?
So with about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
The debate. Why Alabama never had a presidential debate?
Yeah.
Why Alabama for this one, and why now?
Why not? You like how I threw it back on you? Why not? So you're asking me why Alabama and why now?
Yeah.
Number one, I think that John Wall is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and he's done a really good job of raising the profile of the state party to the national level. I'm not saying anybody before him didn't ever do that, but John himself, though, has really made inroads with the national leadership and is even on national committees that help determine some of the things related to, you know, venue selection and all that kind of stuff. So there's that. Secondly, I think it was an opportunity for a deep red state to host an event that had a national platform. And I think we proved that it worked really well. I mean, I thought it was a great venue, laid on really well. Very News Nation did a great job. So I think the why now was because there is a growing sense that Alabama is the place to be. I mean, we got great people. We got great leadership. I mean, the chairman of the House Armed Services, senior member of Appropriations, both in our congressional delegation. We got Tuberville doing his thing, fighting for conservative values on abortion. We got Katie Britt's extremely popular nationwide. And then, you know, Red State and John Wall. I think all of that swirled together to bring the Republicans to the state.
Awesome.
And there's probably other factors, not the least of which is University of Alabama is constantly in people's minds because of NCAA football, just to be honest.
Yeah.
So let's go see what that campus looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Listen, we are headed out to that break. Lee, we love you. Thank you so much for being a part of Butters and Lee today.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you soon. There you go. Butters and Lee. Time now, 4:29, heading to a break. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back for the final half hour, heading into go-home time.